This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Lesson number 4, Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 8 to 16. In Surah Al-Fatiha, we learned about the three categories of people, the three groups of people. The first one was الذين أنعمت عليهم. And their detail, we studied that in Surah Al-Baqarah. The muttaqeen, those who have knowledge, those who act upon the Qur'an, those who are on the guidance, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدَمِّ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The second group that we learnt about was الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. In Surah Al-Fatiha, those people who earned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger. And their detail we learned in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the ayahs, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And who are these people? They are the disbelievers. Those people who are offered knowledge, but what do? They cover that knowledge. They cover that truth. They cover that reality with their disbelief. And then there is the third group of people who are الضالين, those who are misguided, those who are astray. And now, inshallah, we will study about this group of people. Who are they? Those who do not have knowledge. Those who lack knowledge. Those who are unaware of the reality. Those who are unaware of the deen, or they're unaware of themselves. And even if they are given knowledge, they do not understand. They do not comprehend. They do not benefit from the knowledge that they come across. And even if they do have some amal, even if they do act upon something, they do it with insincerity, which is why their actions are not accepted. Who are these people? Who are these people? The hypocrites. So we see that there are three groups of people. One group is of the believers. Then there is a group of the disbelievers, the outright disbelievers. And the third group is of the munafiqeen, of the hypocrites. And if you look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned them, He has mentioned the purest group first. The group that is tayyib, the group that is pure, He mentions them first. Then He mentions the group that is khabith, that which is impure, that which is bad, the disbelievers. And then He mentions the akhbath, that which is most impure. And who are they? Those who are the hypocrites. And the following verses discuss who the hypocrites are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, and from the people, from mankind. مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. There are some who say, we believe in Allah, وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and also we believe in the last day. But Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, and they are not believers. They are not actually believers. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, from the people. مِن, over here, gives the meaning of part of. It gives the meaning of some of. Just as we read earlier, وَمِمَّا رَزَقُنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and from what we have provided them, they spend. Meaning some of what we have given them, they spend out of it. So similarly, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, and from the people, meaning there are some people who do this. Notice over here that the third group of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not describe them with a particular description. The believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them with a description of taqwa. The disbelievers, what was the description given? الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. But this third group, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not describe them with iman, nor does He describe them with disbelief. Why? Because they are neither here nor are they there. They're not really believers, and they don't appear to be disbelievers either. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them in the Quran in Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 143, مُذَبْذَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ لَا إِلَى هَؤُلَاءِ وَلَا إِلَى هَؤُلَاءِ. The hypocrites, they're wavering between them, belonging neither to the believers nor to the disbelievers. So Allah does not call them, their believers, or they're disbelievers, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, and from the people, there are some who do this. مَنْ يَقُولُ, there are those who say, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, from the people, there are some who say, آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ, we have believed in Allah. As for the word annas, annas means the people. And the word nas, we can say that it has been understood in different ways. First of all, it has been said that the word annas is from the root letters noon, waw, seen. It is derived from the root letters noon, waw, seen. Naus. And naus literally means to dangle, to swing back and forth, to move back and forth. So why do you think people are called annas? Because we're always moving back and forth, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. We're always moving back and forth. Secondly, it is also said that the word annas is from the root letters noon, seen, ya. Noon, seen, ya. From the word nisyan. And nisyan means, what does nisyan mean? To forget, forgetfulness. So who are annas then? Who are annas? Those who forget. Human beings forget. This is one of the weaknesses that human beings have. So therefore, never get too worried if you learn your lesson, if you memorize your lesson, but when it comes to reciting your lesson, you forget. Why? Because you're a human being, and human beings tend to forget. So the first meaning is that the word annas is from the root letters noon, waw, seen. Secondly, it is from the root letters noon, seen, ya. And thirdly, it is also said that it's from the root letters hamza, noon, seen, uns. Hamza, noon, seen, uns. And uns means to love, to have friendship, to be familiar. And human beings, what do? They tend to become familiar with each other. They develop love and friendship with each other. Human beings are different from the other creation in this way, that anywhere you will find two people, although they've never met each other before, many times you will find them talking to each other, becoming familiar with each other, inclining to each other. This is how human beings are. So, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, and from the people, Allah says, مَنْ يَقُولُ, there are some who say, آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ, we have believed in Allah. The word man means who. The word man means who. And the word man is used for singular, and it is also used for plural. So over here, مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا, there are those who say, we have believed. So it is actually being used for plural. So from the people, there are some who say that we have believed. آمَنَّا, we have believed. In who? بِاللَّهِ, in Allah. وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and also we have believed in the last day. Notice Allah says, يَقُولُ, they say, they claim, meaning they only make this statement at their tongues. This is a statement that is only on their mouths. This is not what their heart says. This is not what they show with their actions. They only verbally proclaim faith. They only claim to be believers. Because Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, and they are not at all believers. They are not actually believers. What was the definition of iman that we studied? What is the meaning of iman? To affirm something, first of all, at the tongue. Then, to believe it to be true, where? In the heart as well. And also to prove it through a person's actions as well. These people, they're only claiming to be believers. When it comes to their hearts, when it comes to their actions, they do something completely different. Which is why Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, they are not at all believers. Now notice the word بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. This letter ba, this word ba over here, this ba is za'id. What does that mean? It is extra. Okay? And remember that any word that is extra, that is za'id in the Quran, it doesn't mean that it is useless. It doesn't mean that it is purposeless. Okay? What it means by a za'id word is, what it means by an extra word is, that it is not understood literally. It is not going to be translated as you translate it otherwise. Generally, the word bi means what? With. But we do not translate bi as with over here. Why? Because bi is za'id, it is extra. So why is it there then? What's the reason? What's the purpose? Even for the letters alif, lam, mim, we learned that, okay, fine, even if they don't have a meaning, the literal meaning, they have a reason, they have a significance, they have a purpose. So what is the purpose behind this bi? It is for the purpose of emphasis. It is for the purpose of emphasis. So by the statement, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, what does it mean? And they are not at all believers. They are not at all believers. The statement could also simply be, they are not believers. But there is no emphasis in that. When Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, what does it mean? They're not at all believers. They only claim to be believers. They're liars. They're not really believers. So what is their problem? What do they do? Allah says, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ, they try to deceive Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and also those people who have believed. What does it mean by that? They try to deceive Allah and the believers. How? By claiming to be believers. By claiming to have iman. The word yukhadi'una is from the root letters kha, dal, ayn. What are the root letters? Kha, dal, ayn. Khada'a. Khada'a means to deceive someone. What does it mean? To deceive someone. Basically, khada'a is to conceal the reality, to hide the reality, and keep the other person in darkness about it. Keep the other person unaware of the reality. How? For example, a person says something and he does something different. He says something, but he actually means something different. He has something else in his heart. So in other words, khada is to reveal something other than what is in the person's heart. What is the reality? يُخَادِعُونَ, they are deceiving. They are trying to deceive. Who are they trying to deceive? Allah and the believers. If you notice the word يُخَادِعُونَ, يُخَادِعُونَ, we read another word in the same lesson, which is يَخْدَعُونَ, which will come later on in the ayah, وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ. The translation is يُخَادِعُونَ, they try to deceive, يَخْدَعُونَ, they deceive. What's the difference between the two? You see the word yukhadiruna? It has an alif sound after kha. So this form of the word, it basically gives us two meanings. It gives us two meanings. The first meaning that it conveys is of trying to do a particular action. To attempt to do an action. To attempt an action. And it also includes effort on the part of the one who is doing the action. So what does it mean by yukhadi'una? It's not just they deceive, but what does it mean? They are trying to deceive. They're trying very hard to deceive. They put an effort to deceive. Secondly, this structure, this form of the word, also gives us the meaning of a group together doing an action. So yukhadi'una means all of them collectively as a group, they try to deceive Allah and the believer. So what does it mean? All of these people, they cooperate with each other. Together, as a group, they claim to be believers. And by this, they try to deceive Allah and also the believers. So you see the meaning that the word yukhadi'una conveys? First of all, they're trying. Secondly, all of them, collectively. And you know the meaning of collectively? What does that show? That our friends, they influence us. If we belong to a particular group, we will do exactly what they're doing. Right? So يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ, they're trying to deceive Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, what is their deceit? What is their deception? What is the khida'? That they reveal Islam. They pretend to be believers. Whereas actually, they are not believers. So they show Islam on the surface, whereas in reality, in the heart, there is disbelief. They show Islam on the surface, whereas in reality, in the heart, there is disbelief. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. But the reality is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ, and not they deceive, إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ, except themselves. By this act of theirs, who are they deceiving? Only themselves. But do they realize that? No, they don't. وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ, they don't even realize. The word يَخْدَعُونَ, again is from the root, خَدَعَ, and يَخْدَعُونَ, this form of the word, conveys the meaning of doing the action individually, doing the action one-on-one, and it also conveys the meaning of being successful in doing the action. يُخَادِعُونَ, they're trying to deceive. يَخْدَعُونَ, they actually deceive. Who are they actually deceiving? أَنفُسَهُمْ. The word أَنفُس is the plural of the word نَفْس. It is the plural of the word نَفْس. And it's from the root letters نُون, فَا, سِين. نُون, فَا, سِين. And نَفْس means soul. So they only deceive themselves. What does it mean by they deceive themselves? What does it mean by that? That the consequences of their trying to deceive Allah and the Messenger are against who? Themselves. Who is going to suffer? Is Allah going to suffer? No. Are the believers going to suffer? No. Who is going to suffer? They are going to suffer because they're not actually believers and they're only claiming to be believers. So they deceive only themselves. How? As the evil consequences of their trickery will fall upon them. Allah says, وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ, and they don't even perceive. They don't even realize. The word يَشْعُرُونَ is from the root letters شِين, عَيْن, رَا. What are the root letters? شِين, عَيْن, رَا. And the word شُعُور means to realize, to know the reality. The word شَعْر is from the same root. And شَعْر is used for hair. If you look at hair, they're very fine, isn't it? Very thin, very fine. Compared to a string, compared to a rope. Hair is very fine. So شُعُور is to know, to be aware of the fine detail of something. The fine details of something. To be aware of the subtle issues. To not just be aware of something just on the surface, not just to have superficial knowledge, just the apparent knowledge, but to realize, to know the reality of something. To know the fine details of something. This is what شعور is. So وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ, they don't even realize. What do they not realize? What don't they realize? That they're actually deceiving themselves. They're actually harming themselves. Now what is the background of these verses? You see, when the Prophet ﷺ, when he was in Mecca, he was there for how long? 13 years. 13 years he was in Mecca. And when he was delivering the message of Islam to the people, who was the main opponent? Who was the main opponent? The disbelievers. Right? So in Mecca, there were two groups. The group of the believers and the group of the disbelievers. In Mecca, if you became a Muslim, what did that mean? You were going to be in trouble. You were only going to suffer. You were not going to be successful. Right? So the believers were very sincere believers. And anyone who was not sincere, he would obviously be a disbeliever. He would not become a Muslim. Then the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina. What happened in Medina? The Muslims, eventually they became successful. Right? The Battle of Badr, what happened? The Muslims were victorious. So one after the other, Muslims were becoming victorious. So in Medina, there were three groups now. There was a group of the believers, there was a group of the disbelievers, and there was a group of the hypocrites. Who were these hypocrites? Those people who accepted Islam only to gain worldly benefits. They accepted Islam only to gain worldly benefits. Because the Muslims were becoming successful. So they wanted to become Muslim to enjoy the benefits of being a Muslim. Do you understand why they became Muslim? Only to enjoy the benefits of being Muslim. So their actual interests were where? In Islam or in something else? Something else. They wanted the dunya. They wanted the world. So in trying to do that, they were only appearing to be believers, and in that they were deceiving themselves, and they didn't even realize the reality that they were actually harming themselves by this deception. وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. What is their problem? Why do they do this? Allah says, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. In their hearts is a disease. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. In their hearts. Is what disease? مَرَض. What disease is there in their hearts? The disease of hypocrisy. The disease of love of this dunya, of this world. Now the word marad is from the root letters mim, ra, dad. It is from the root letters mim, ra, dad. And the word marad means disease, illness, sickness. It is said that marad is any imbalance in the body. What is a marad? Any imbalance in the body. For example, if a person's blood sugar levels are imbalanced, is he going to be fine or is he going to be sick? Sick. Similarly, if his blood pressure is not normal, what's going to happen? Is he going to be fine or is he going to be sick? Sick. Similarly, if the body temperature, if there is an imbalance in that, what does that show? A person is sick. A person is ill. So a marad, an illness, a disease, a sickness, what is it? Imbalance. But the word marad is not just an imbalance in the physical body. It is not just about physical illnesses. But it also includes spiritual illnesses, mental illnesses, psychological illnesses. So في قلوبهم مرض, in their hearts is a disease. What is this disease? This disease is of hypocrisy. The disease of doubt. Doubt in who? In what? Huh? In the Messenger of Allah. In the Quran. Is this really the true word of Allah? Is he really the Messenger of Allah? Is he really a true prophet? There is imbalance. There is no yaqeen. There is no faith. There is no surety. Right? So فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ, in their hearts is a disease. And this disease also includes the disease of shahawat, of desires, and shubuhat, of doubts. Shahawat, desires, and shubuhat, doubts. Remember that there are two things. If they enter a person's heart, they begin to extinguish his faith. They begin to extinguish his iman. What are they? Desires and doubts. Now you see, desires are natural, aren't they? But if a person is always just pursuing his desires, every decision he makes is based on the fulfillment of his desires, obviously it's going to affect his iman. I don't want to pray because I don't feel like it. I don't want to do this because I don't feel like it. If we do everything because we feel like it or we don't feel like it, what's going to happen? We won't have any principles. So, shahawat, if they enter a person's heart, what's going to happen? They're going to extinguish his faith. Similarly, doubts. Shak, if they enter a person's heart, that is also going to extinguish his faith. So, fi qulubihim marad, in their hearts is a disease. They have love for this life, they have love for this world, and they also have doubts about their religion. What happens? Allah says, فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. So Allah increased them in their disease. You see the word fa over here? Fa. This conveys the meaning of because of. Okay? It gives the meaning of cause. Fa. Because they didn't cure their sickness. Because they didn't cure their marad. As a result, what happened? زادهم الله مرضا. Allah increased them in their disease. So what does fa mean? Because. What is it connected with? The previous verse. In their hearts is a disease. They did not cure the disease. As a result, their disease increased. Their sickness increased. The word zada is from the root letters zay, ya, dal. It is from the root letters zay, ya, dal. From the word ziyada, which means to increase, to multiply. So zadahum, he increases for them in what? In marad, in disease, in sickness, in illness. What does it mean by that? You see, if there is an illness, if a person is sick and he doesn't cure that sickness, if he doesn't cure that illness, what's going to happen? It's going to become worse. It's going to become worse to the point that it will be incurable. It is impossible to cure it. For example, if a person gets cancer, and if it's caught right at the beginning, and if it is treated right at the beginning, it is possible to cure it, isn't it? But if a person says, oh, never mind, I have cancer, I'm just going to die, so, you know, doesn't matter. I'll just suffer with it until I die. I have to die anyway, might as well. Let me just suffer with it and I'll die. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? The cancer is going to spread. And eventually he is going to die. So similarly, when there is a disease in the heart, for example, the disease of pursuing this dunya, you know, the dunya is the ultimate priority, his ultimate concern. Similarly, doubts about the deen, doubts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doubts about the religion, doubts about the Qur'an. And if a person does not cure this disease, what's going to happen? It is only going to increase to the point that it's going to become incurable. It is not going to be possible to cure it. So Allah says, فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. So Allah increases them in their disease. وَلَهُمْ. And for them, عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. For them is a painful punishment. Why? Why? What does the ayah say? Read the ayah. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. For them is a painful punishment. Why? بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. Because they used to lie. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ. We did the word عَذَاب yesterday. It means punishment. Yesterday we read عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Punishment that is great. Now we read عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Punishment that is painful. أَلِيمٌ is from the root letters Hamza, Lam, Meem. What are the root letters? Hamza, Lam, Meem. From the word alam. And alam means pain. Okay? What does it mean? Pain. And if you look at the word alim, just as we read earlier, rahim. What does rahim mean? One who is especially merciful, one who shows mercy again and again. عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Alim is similar to Rahim in sound, just as you have the word Alim. So Alim gives the meaning of that which will cause pain again and again. That which will cause pain again and again. You see, one strike is painful, but multiple strikes are more painful, isn't it? If you're hurting somewhere, and if you're struck over there, even by mistake, somebody doesn't realize that you're hurting over there and they hit you over there by mistake, it's very painful. And imagine if they, you know, sometimes you hit your toe and you hit it again and then you hit it again. It's so painful. Repetition, it increases the pain. It increases the suffering. And also, if each blow is harder and severer and more strong than the previous, then also the pain increases. So وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Alim gives the meaning of that which is extremely painful, that which will cause them a lot of pain. And also, if you think about it, if you get hurt, you only suffer the physical pain, isn't it? But if somebody hits you, you suffer the physical pain and also the emotional pain. It's humiliating. So for them is a painful punishment because it's not just going to be physical, but also going to be mental, psychological. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an that the hypocrites will have the worst punishment. Where? Allah tells us in Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 145, that the hypocrites, they will be فِالدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. They will be in the lowest depths of the hellfire. Where will they be? In the lowest depths of the hellfire. Utter humiliation, bringing them disgrace as well as a lot of pain. Why? بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ because they used to lie. The word yakdibun is from the root kaf, dal, ba. It is from the root letters kaf, dal, ba. Kadib. Kadib means a lie. And kadaba yakdibu means to lie. Yakdibun, they lie. What is a lie? What is a lie? Think about it. What is a lie? A statement that is against the reality, that is contrary to reality, that is different from reality. That is what a kadib is. And notice over here, kanu yakdibun. Kanu yakdibun. When the word kanu, when it comes before a verb, yakdibun is a verb, right? You're familiar with that. When the word kana comes before a verb, it gives the meaning of doing the action constantly, habitually. Not just once or twice, but doing the action continuously. Doing the action habitually. So, bima kanu yakdibun doesn't mean they lied. But what does it mean? Because they used to habitually lie. This was their habit. Lying was their habit. They didn't just lie once, they lied again and again. Now, the question is, what did they lie about? What was the lie? You tell me. What was their lie? Their claim that they believe in Allah. In their hearts, they weren't believers. They only claimed to be believers. So for them is a painful punishment. Why? Because they used to lie. There is a hadith in Sahih Muslim in which the Prophet ﷺ, he said that there are three signs of a hypocrite. There are three signs of a hypocrite. First of all, when he speaks, he tells a lie. When he speaks, he tells a lie. Secondly, when he makes a promise, he breaks it. And thirdly, when he is trusted with something, he betrays. He doesn't fulfill the trust. He doesn't fulfill the amana. What are the three signs of a hypocrite? When he speaks, he tells a lie. When he makes a promise, he breaks it. And when he is trusted with something, he betrays. So from these verses, what do we learn? That a hypocrite lies. It is a sign of a hypocrite that he lies. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. And we really have to check ourselves, because sometimes we lie. When? Just in a joke. Just to make the other people laugh, we will lie. Similarly, just to get away from something, we will lie. We don't want to talk to somebody, and when they call, we tell our, you know, child or our spouse or somebody to just say that we're busy or we're not home or we're in the shower, we're in the washroom, because we don't want to talk to them. That is also a lie. Because what is the definition of a lie? That which is contrary to reality. That which is not true. That which is not the case. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. You see, a small headache is very painful, isn't it? Just the other day, somebody was telling us about a relative of theirs who was suffering from cancer. And they were saying that they would be in so much pain that they would say, just shoot me. They could not bear the pain. They could not bear the pain. A little pain of this dunya we cannot bear. In the hereafter, in hellfire, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Extremely painful. Why? Because they used to lie. So this ayah is sufficient for us to stop us from lying. With regards to just little things, little issues, small things.
Assalamu alaikum. There's a hadith, Prophet said, a Muslim can be coward, but he can't be a liar, because a lie is not a quality of believer. And the Prophet ﷺ used to joke, but he said, I'm only telling the truth. But we lie in everything, when we're with kids, when everybody. So these things, small things, we don't see them as big, but they're big in the sight of Allah. Because Allah says, عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. So we have to watch our tongue when we are joking, when we are just trying to get our ways. What kind of words are we saying? Because the Prophet of Allah never told a lie, so we should never tell a lie.
There is a hadith in book of Imam Malik, that the Prophet ﷺ, he was asked, can a believer be a coward? Can he be a coward? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, he can be. Then he was asked, can a believer be stingy? Can he be a miser? Meaning he doesn't spend much. He is very tight-fisted. The Prophet ﷺ replied, yes. And finally, he was asked, can a believer be a liar? And the Prophet ﷺ said, no. A believer cannot be a liar.
A friend was telling me once that she was listening to a lecture, and the brother said that you have two angels. One is writing the truth, or the good things that you do, and then on the left side, there's one writing if you say lies or anything bad that you do. So when we make a sarcastic comment, or when we joke, there's no joke column. So it either goes in truth, or it goes in false. So whenever we're saying it, we have to be very careful, because there's no middle place to put that.
Very true. There's either a good deed, or a bad deed. And what's the criteria? That which is true, and that which is false. So if it's a joke, if it's true, it'll go in one column. And if it's false, it's going to go in the other. You see, let's discuss, what kind of lies do we generally speak? Or what kind of lies surround us? A very common lie is that when an older person, when an older sibling, when a mother, when a father, when an older cousin, when they call the child, come here, I'll give you this, I'll take you there, I'll show you this. And when the child comes, they don't do it. When we say that we're going to do something and we don't actually do it. What else? Sometimes we're telling a joke, or sometimes we're narrating something, we're telling a story, we're telling about what happened, and we add extra details which are not true. We exaggerate just to impress others, just to amuse others, just to convince them, just to make them agree with us. If it's not true, it's a lie. Many times we say that, for example, some married women, they will put the name of their husband everywhere. My husband told me to do this, and my husband doesn't want me to do this. But if there is an understanding between the husband and the wife, then that's a different case. And if there is no understanding between them with regards to certain matters, and a woman is just attributing things to her husband, then that is incorrect. What else? Sometimes we don't want to hurt the other person's feelings, and we say that which is untrue. But it doesn't mean that, you know, in our truthfulness, we are very rude and harsh. We can tell them, it's fine, however you could do this to improve. It's okay, but you could do this to improve. So, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. So what's the lesson for us? Be careful about our speech. Watch our tongues. Yes. Yeah, very true. Many times we lie just to get ourselves out of trouble. Just to get ourselves out of a difficult situation. For example, if our group in charge asks us, did you memorize the lesson? We say, yes, of course we did. Yeah, sometimes to get some work out of some people, what do? We tell them, please do it by this date because I have to go, or because, you know, it's due, whereas it's not due until a week or so, until another week or something like that. Deceiving, twisting the truth, that is also a lie. Sometimes we don't feel like doing something, going somewhere, doing some work. We say we're sick. Very true. Sometimes people lie about their age. You see, if it's not true, it's a lie. If you don't want to tell somebody about something, you can tell them, I don't feel comfortable sharing this information with you. Simple. Yeah, sometimes to show off. You know, I bought this for this much money, whereas it was bought from a dollar store or something. Sometimes to impress others. So we see that lying is a quality of the hypocrites. And it's a very dangerous quality. It's a very dangerous characteristic. Because this is from where a lot of problems begin. Because we lie once and then we have to lie again and again to cover that lie. To live that lie. So lying leads to a lot of problems. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, a believer cannot be a liar. He can be a coward. He can be scared. He can be stingy, but he cannot be a liar. Speak the truth, even if it's against yourself. Let's listen to the recitation.
وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُم بِمُؤْمِنِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ فِي قُلُوبِهِم مَّرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ